Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuva Sadi Beis. We're on Sadi Alpha Mid Beis. We're starting towards the bottom of the Amud, about 7 lines on the bottom, Hahu Gavra. Here in the 10th parak of the Masechta, so our continued discussion regarding debt collection. And so over here, it's going to be all real estate today. The entirety of the Gemara today is going to be focusing on real estate, buying and selling properties, mortgages, liens that are held by creditors on the property. And so good. So we're going to get a real tutorial in terms of how these mortgages work and exactly what can and cannot be done. So and the Gemara is going to give us all this by way of case studies. In other words, we're going to have one case study after another case study, and basically the Gemara is going to go over what exactly the halacha would be in this case and that case, and obviously the halachas are drawn out from the cases themselves. And so today we're going to have about a half dozen cases that are coming up in the Gemara that are going to illustrate various ways in which mortgages work. So how gavra dezavna ksuvas diime betofasana. So the first case that we're tackling today, it's a complicated case. The complication, quite frankly, is based on the fact that we're not even sure what the Gemara is talking about, right? The words literally translate that the person sold ksuva diime, sold the ksuva of his mother. And betofas hanayin, he sold it for a small amount of money. So, in terms of selling ksuvas before, so that's something we're familiar with. In other words, selling a ksuva, so a woman could sell the ksuva. In this case over here, it's not the woman selling the ksuva. So, in a moment, I'm gonna zoom into this particular case. But I'm just talking right now about the idea of selling a ksuva. So look, the ksuva is a collectible note, but it comes with it a risk. Because the ksuva is only a collectible note in the event that the husband predeceases her. Or the husband divorces her. But if she predeceases the husband, so then there is no collection of the ksuva. In other words, the husband just simply then inherits the entire estate of the wife, and there's no ksuva that's going to be paid out, right? Debt gone. So when you're buying the debt of ksuva, so it's speculation. And so obviously when you're buying something which is speculative, so both the buyer and seller understand that. And so therefore you're buying it at an extraordinarily reduced price because it may not amount to anything. Okay, good. So it's risky. So when you're buying a ksuva, you're not going to spend a lot of money. So that's what the Gemara means when it says that you bought a betova sana. Tova sana just simply means over here, you didn't buy it for dollar of its face value, because again, it's a risky investment. It may not be anything. So you bought it for pennies on the dollar, whatever they agreed upon in terms of how much they're going to sell it for. Now, that's generally speaking the idea of selling a ksuva, but this case over here is complicated by the fact that it's not the mother who sold it, but rather it's the son who sold it. So the son sold his mother's ksuva? What? So Rashi really struggles over here. Rashi offers not one, but two different pshatim in the Gemara over here. What I'm going to present this morning is just simply Rashi's second pshat. But see Rashi over here inside in detail, in a lot of detail, in terms of Rashi's offering, in terms of a basic explanation of the Gemara. Here, pshat number one, pshat number two. I'm offering pshat number two. Pshat number two of Rashi is as follows, and that is that what the son sold was property. Property that was used to secure the ksuva. Okay, now we already learned earlier in the Masechta that all the properties of the father are there to use the ksuva, to secure the ksuva. But anyway, right now there is a given property that was securing the ksuva, and this is after the father died. So now we have a given property that basically is the ksuva, meaning it's the mother's property that she's receiving as payment, the satisfaction of the ksuva payment. Okay, now, what the son did is he went to a potential buyer and he said the following. He says, look, I'm not sure if my mom wants it, but she doesn't want it. Is she going to demand it? Is she not going to demand it? Right now, I'll say probably she wants it, but there's a chance she doesn't want it. So what I'm selling you is a chance. Okay. In other words, in the event that she doesn't want it, are you ready? Would you pay me for that right to go ahead and to purchase it? So over here, the way Rashi presents it now, this is an extraordinarily risky investment over here. In other words, the property under discussion is already now headed towards mom. And the only chance that you're gonna be able to buy it is if mom declines. So what the son is doing now is he's selling that chance. Okay, I would venture a guess that we're not talking about a lot of money that's going to be paid for this risk. Okay, but I'm not the one who's assessing risk over here, so I don't have to worry about that. But however, now that we're here, so now Amar Le'i Yasya Eim Amar Lo Matzinalach, and full disclosure, look, if mom comes and mom says, the land is obviously due to me, and I'd like to now assume ownership of the land. So if in fact mom does that, so the seller says to the buyer, no compensation. So in other words, this is a totally risky investment. Okay. And understand, however, that if it falls through, you cannot come after me. Good. Now, shchiva so now what happens is as follows. Mom never cared for the land. In other words, she never took possession. She never took ownership of the land. And it turns out now it was a risky investment, but it panned out. And now the buyer of this property who bought it for pennies on the dollar. So now he gets to keep the property, right? And now here's where the case becomes interesting. As it is already, the case is so complicated. But here's where it gets interesting. So now the seller now comes and says, look, you know that land belonged to my mother. And you also know that I inherited her estate. So now I become the inheritor of that estate. So I know that I sold it to you given the assumed risk in the property. I know I did. I know I did that. However, I told you that if mom complains, if she protests, if she challenges, so the land is in fact going to be the land won't belong to you. But if she doesn't protest and she doesn't challenge, the land will belong to you. Good. And as we just went over, mom died, never challenged the sale, and now the son, as a yoresh of the mother, now is going to challenge the sale. Okay. Now, if you're thinking through this case, you realize at this point in time, wow, that was that unethical of what he just did. In other words, having sold the land, knowing it was a risky sale, collected the money for that sale, and now his only condition was that if mom protests, you don't keep it, but if mom doesn't protest, you get to keep it. And over here now, because mom didn't protest, he's now protesting? Oh. So fine. So what he did was unethical. Right? I'll say it comfortably. I believe it. Good. But as far as the Gemara is concerned now, the Gemara wants to know, does he have the right to challenge? Meaning he is a Yorish of the mother. So can he also Yarshin that challenge as well? So Sever, Rami Bar Chama LeMeimar. So Iyu B'Makom Ime Kai. So Rami Bar Chama says, look, is he condoning the behavior? I'm going to guess no. But I'm not here to make judgment calls. All I'm simply saying in the explanation of Rami Bar Chama is, yeah, he could challenge it. In other words, because it was mom's land, it was mom's property, she had the right to challenge, and now mom died, you inherited it, so you inherit the land, and also you inherit the right to challenge it. And Amalei Rav, and Rav says, no, I don't want to hear from this. So, Nihida Achreis Dida Lo Kabel Ala Achreis Dida Mi Lo Kabel. And Rava says no. In other words, and intuitively, at least I'm speaking on behalf of myself, intuitively, like in other words, Rava sounds right over here. In other words, according to Rava, look, when you sold that property, you sold mom's property, and you were good about disclosure, meaning you shared with him, this is a risky investment. All we need is for mom to protest and challenge that I sold the property, and that's it, you lost. So it was full disclosure on the risk that was involved. And then when mom died, now you're going to challenge it? Rava says no. In other words, when you sold it, the only portion of the risk that he assumed was if mom was going to challenge it, but not if you're going to challenge it. Okay. And we move on to the next case. Okay. We're going to now talk about selling property with and without a chayav. So let me just take a moment to explain what that means. When you're selling property, so again, because there are liens that are created on given properties, meaning if you have creditors, so they are going to have a lien on that property. So whenever you sell a property, so they always run the risk, the buyer always runs the risk that someone's going to go ahead and foreclose on that property as a satisfaction of an obligation that they were owed. Okay, good. So what do we do here in our country? So in order to try not to avoid it, but to protect ourselves, so we do a title search. We have title insurance. Okay, so we try to protect ourselves from that. So back in the good old days, so when you sold property, so you sold it either with or without a chrayas. What does that mean? Well, if you sell it with a chrayas, it means that look, again, the sale of any property is going to have a built-in risk in the sale, and I may have a lien holder come and exercise that lien, foreclose on the property, and take it away from you. Okay, so if you're selling the property by chrayos, so you, the seller, are now saying, I personally guarantee. In other words, you will have recourse. In the event that the property is taken away from you, you can have recourse. You can come again. You can come to me, and I will give you reimbursement. Fine. And if I sell property shelo ba'achrayus, So basically, I'm telling you that, look, buyer beware. There's no recourse. You cannot come after me if the property's taken from you, from any of the lien holders. You'll do your due diligence. You'll research, but I'm not protecting you. Okay, so those are the two different ways you can sell a property. Obviously, the buyer would love it if the property was sold to him be'achrayos and not shalom be'achrayos, obviously. I'm guessing, and it's just a guess on my part, that probably if you're selling property be'achrayos, it's probably going to cost more. In other words, right? I would assume that when you sell property shalom be'achrayos, that'll factor into the price, knowing that the property may be taken away from you and you have no recourse. Okay, I'm guessing. Okay, either way. So now, good. So those are the two different ways that you can sell property, either with achrayos or without achrayos. And now follow. Okay, and some of these cases are going to be a little bit complicated, but they're pretty straightforward. Okay, that should be better. So Reuven sold the property to Shimon, and he did so shalom be'achrayos, and he did so with no guarantee, no personal guarantee. And then also Shimon amachul Reuven be'achrayos, and then Shimon sold the land back to Reuven, and he did so with achrayos. Okay, so what's going on over here? How come the land was sold back and forth between two people? Whatever, doesn't matter. The Gemara obviously has a very specific point it wants to make, so we're just going to follow the case and we're just going to watch the Gemara develop its point. So again, if you're following carefully over here, Reuven sold it to Shimon, no achrayos. Shimon sold it back to Reuven with achrayos. Okay, that's what happened. Now, also bachov de Reuven. Now, creditor of Reuven comes and katar flemine, and what he does is that he forecloses. In other words, a creditor of Reuven, and this is historically an old creditor of Reuven, meaning this creditor has been around even before the first sale, right? The property went from Reuven to Shimon, back from Shimon to Reuven. So this creditor has been around for a long time. He's been holding this lien on this property for some time, and finally, he had enough, and he finally exercises the lien. Good, and he takes the property away. Dina hu dazo Shimon amafsile. Now, Shimon, remember, when he sold the property to Reuven, he said to Reuven, I'm selling it to you with achrayos, which means that you have recourse. So in the event that the property is taken away from you, you can come back to me and I'll reimburse you. Okay. Now, hopefully at this point in time, you should be a little bit uncomfortable with what we just said, because yes, it's true that Shimon sold it with recourse and with a guarantee. But in other words, but when he sold it to Reuven, he never thought that he was going to be protecting Reuven from Reuven, meaning this is Reuven's creditor over here. So imagine now that when Shimon sold the property to Reuven, he says, look, I'm going to protect you from creditors. Can't you argue that I'm going to protect you from all creditors except your very own creditors? So Amalei Rava, so that's exactly what Rava is going to say. Meaning Rami Barchama, again, hard to understand, but Rami Barchama is arguing that doesn't matter who the creditor is, even if it's Reuven's very own creditor. So Shimon is there, and when he sold the property back to Reuven, he said, I'm selling it to you with recourse, and okay. And in other words, he sold it by achrayos, and therefore, he has to make good on it. But again, Amalei Rava, so Rava says, no. Nihida achrayos, da'ama kabal alai achrayos, da'nef shemi kabal alai. No, when Shimon is selling the land back to Reuven, and he says to you, and you have recourse, and you can come to me if the property is taken away from you, if the property is taken away from you from another creditor. But if it's your creditor that's coming and taking the property, and you know you had the creditor, and now I'm going to go ahead and have to reimburse you on your very own creditor? No. Rava says no. Good. So what we just learned together is that, so even when you're selling property and with achrayos and with recourse, nevertheless, it's not blanket recourse. In other words, it's from outside creditors, but not the buyer's very own creditor. Now, umo de Rava Beruven sheyarsha de Yaakov. So the Gemara says, but here's what I'm definitely going to concede, right? Rava now, who are you with Rami Bar Chama? But I'll concede the following. Reuven inherited a property from Yaakov of Machor LeShimon, he sells it to Shimon. Shimon, by the way, not the brother of Reuven. Reuven, Shimon over here, we're just using names, right? Even though Yaakov is the father. Okay, so anyway. So Reuven shares said to me Yaakov. So what happened was that Reuven inherited the property from Yaakov. So it's the exact same case, but with one notable difference, and that is that this property did not originally belong to Reuven. Originally, it was owned by Yaakov. Yaakov died. Reuven inherited from Yaakov, and now we're going to the buying in both directions. Reuven sold it to Shimon. Shimon sold it back to Reuven. When Reuven sold it to Shimon, Shalom Achrayos. When Shimon sold it back to Reuven, it was with Achrayos. Good. Now, Rava says, here's what I'm going to give you. Now, yes, a creditor comes. Now, the creditor, who's the creditor? Creditor over here, an old creditor of Yaakov. So he comes and he takes it. Now, remember, when Shimon sold the land to Reuven, he sold it to him with recourse. I'm protecting you in the event that it's repossessed. So now, remember, Rava said, I'm protecting you from all creditors except your creditor. So here, the wrinkle is that it wasn't Reuven's creditor. It was Reuven's father's creditor. So is that considered like a creditor to Reuven? So Rava says, here's what I agree. So Dina Hudaz Shimon Amafsi Lemine. So Rava says, no. In such a situation, this is not viewed as Reuven's creditor. It's viewed as Yaakov's creditor. Yes, it's true that when Reuven inherited the land, he inherited it from his father Yaakov. That part's true, but still, vis-a-vis recourse, and when Shimon sold the land to Reuven, protecting him from any outside creditor, including that would be even the creditor of Yaakov. In this regard, the creditor of Yaakov is viewed as an outside creditor. So my time, Bachov Yaakov, ke Bachov Damadami. The Gemara just simply spells it out, meaning the creditor of Yaakov is just viewed as an outside creditor. Okay. We're up to the next case. We're on Sadi Beis Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. Again, really short daf today, but as I pointed out, difficult. Just got to follow the cases. And obviously, I'll do the best in terms of presenting them as clearly as I can. Amarami Barchama Reuven Shemacher Sadul Shimon Bachrayus. Okay, Reuven sold property to Shimon with Achrayus and Zakavalav Bemilva. Okay, now, what happens now is that Shimon says, look, I'm buying the property, and of course, normally at this point in time, I pay you, but you know what? Let me not pay you right now, simply because I don't have the cash right now to pay you. But of course, what I'll do is that I'll owe you the money. Okay. In other words, what I'm describing over here is what pretty much every American does when they buy a house. Okay, let me buy a house, and let me not pay you, and I'll pay you later. And of course, the lender is usually not going to be the seller. The lender usually is a third party, otherwise known as a bank. Okay, good. All right. So over here, so the buyer of the property says, "Look, thank you very much for selling it to me, and the purchase price. Let's turn that into a loan." Good. And they agree. Now, Zakavala Bemilva. So far, so good. Everything straightforward. Mace Reuven. Next part of the episode of the saga is that Reuven dies. V'asabachov de Reuven, and now creditors of Reuven come. Now they had a lien on this property. V'katar flemi Shimon, and what they do now is that they take the property away from Shimon, and upaisa bezuze. So now remember, Shimon still has an outstanding debt to pay for the property. Shimon has yet to pay for the property, but in other words, since he's purchased the property, so he already has an outstanding loan for Reuven for the payment of the property. So that he already has. But after that point in time, what happens is that now his seller / lender dies. Now what happens is that another lien holder, okay, an older lien holder comes and he repossesses the property. And what Shimon does is that Shimon says to the lien holder, wait one second. No. Don't take the property. Here's what we'll do. I'll pay you for it. Now, all of a sudden he has money. I know that part's curious. Okay, but the Gemara is making a very specific point over here. So let's just follow the storyline so that we can get to the Gemara's point. Now, Ufaisa Bezuze. Now, Dina Hu Da'amr Le B'nei Reuven. Now, the Yisom and the Yorshim could say the following. Or, in other words, I don't know how much they know, but we're going to offer the following on their defense. And that is, Ana Metalt Le Shavak Avuch Kabach. O Metalt Le Yasme Le Bachov Le Mishtabde. So they say to Shimon, the purchaser of the property, and B, also a borrower to the estate, so the children can say to him as follows. So as far as what you owed our father, you owed him. You owed us money. Meaning, of course. In other words, he bought the property and he owed money to the estate. Well, he owed money to the father. Now he owes money to the estate. Okay, so money. How do we view money? It's metaltolin, meaning it's not karka, it's metaltolin. So imagine now you would have paid us that money. Okay, can other creditors come and take that money? No. When creditors come against Yesomim, the only thing they can take is only karka, but they can't take metaltolin. Right? That's metaltolin shavak avuk kabain or metaltolin diyasme labal chov lo mishtabde. No lien against money. So their taina to Shimon is the following. You did us bad. Meaning because instead of giving us the money, which you owed us, meaning you owed dad the money, now he passed away, right? Obviously we're assuming that debt. In other words, we inherited that debt. You owe us the money. If you would have paid us the money, so now the lien holder would never have been able to take the money away from us. Lien holder only has a lien on the property and not on the money. So you did bad by us. Meaning by you, instead of paying us, paying the lien holder, you caused us a loss of that money. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, fine. Okay? So far, so good. And that is a taina. Meaning that's a legitimate claim that the kids can have. Rava says, that's true, but ipekech idach. Now let's say Shimon, the purchaser of the property, let's say he wanted to keep that property. So what would he have done? What could he have done? So magbiluni aleara. So what he should do is he could do the following. And that is, okay, kids, you know what? You're right. I owed your father and I owed him money, but you know what? Instead of paying back with money, I'm just going to pay back with the property. And specifically, which property? I'll pay back with the property that I bought. Meaning I bought the property, but then I bought on credit and I never paid back your father. So what I'm now going to do is I'm going to simply give you back the property. Now, why is that a smart move? Oh, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's a smart move. So the Magbele Nialeare and Hadagabele Minayo. Now, what's going to then end up happening is that property is going to be taken by who? It'll be taken by the lien holder. Why? The Gemara goes on to explain. Rav Nachman, it's just like the statement of Rav Nachman. The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Yisom Shigavu Karka Bechovas Aviyem, So Bachov Chosev Gavos Amehen. That when estate comes and collects property as satisfaction of any obligation, if there is a pre-existing lien holder, so the lien holder can come and take that property. Meaning that even though by Yisomim we say that metaltan are not meshuba to any lien holder, karka is. Even if the karka was not in the possession of the estate at the time of death, but in other words, but they got property, property that a lien already existed on it. So, and it goes into the estate, lien holder still has his lien on that property. In other words, the lien is not released and the lien holder can come and take it. So what Shimon could have done is the following. Shimon could have said, look, I owed your father money. That part's true. I don't have money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay back. How am I going to pay back? In property. And I'm going to give back that property. So then the lien holder still has a lien on that property. The lien holder is going to come and take that property. And then Shimon, later, when he does recover and when he does have money, so he can go back to the lien holder and now buy it back from the lien holder. So there is a way, says Rava, for Shimon to be able to retain that property. Not retain it, but at least be able to get back that property. Okay. Amar Rava. I admit that case over there was complicated. We're up to the next one. Amar Rabbi Reuven Shemachlo Shemachlo Kol Sto Sav LeShimon. Okay, so next case of the Gemara, Reuven sells every one of his properties over to Shimon, and it happens to be that there were three grades of property. We know that properties get graded A, B, and C. The as far as Gemara terminology is concerned, the A property is Idis, the B property is Beinonis. Okay, nice alliteration, and the C property is Zibaris. Okay, so what do we know? We actually did this pretty recently here in Ksuvos, and Baba Kama, we're going to be doing a lot of this, is that your Idis property is there to satisfy obligations like damages, Beinonis property is there to satisfy obligations like creditors, and Zibor's properties are there for, right, your lowest grade properties are there to satisfy Ksuva obligations. There are many more details than what I just gave, But in other words, that's just the basic idea of Itas Bein Ziboris. So, Reuven sold every one of his properties to Shimon, and it included in it all grades of property. And then, V'chazer Shimon Machasada Achaz Levi. And then what Shimon did is he sold one of the properties to Levi. Okay, now, V'yasa Bachov de Reuven. And you know what's going to happen next, because that's all we're talking about today. And that is that there was lien holders on that property. Meaning, Reuven was defaulting on debts that he had. And now in comes the lien holders who now want to exercise their lien. Okay, so where is the property right now? Reuven sold it all. He sold it all to Shimon. And then Shimon in turn sold it, but some of it to Levi. Question. Now when the lien holder is coming and exercising his lien in order to satisfy his obligation, is he going after Shimon? Or can he even go after Levi? Good. So the Gemara discusses V'chazer Shimon Machzad Achas Ola Levi V'asa Bachov De Reuven. So Ratsa Mizegove. So at first, the way Rabbah presents the halacha, the lien holder can go after Shimon or can go after Levi. Dealer's choice. He can choose. He can elect which one he wants to go to. So V'lo Amara, and the Gemara says, okay, now even though we just said, and we've said it pretty flatly, but the Gemara says, but there is more context, and there's nuance to this particular halacha. V'lo Amara Nela Dezavna Beinonis. That's true when Shimon sold property to Levi, he sold Beinonis property to Levi. So now, Beinonis is typically what is used. That's the B-level, B-grade property. That's typically what's used to satisfy creditors. So over here, we have a creditor who needs to be satisfied. So when Shimon sold a parcel of land to Levi and it was a Beinonis property, so then fine. So now the creditor can elect to go to either Shimon or to Levi. However, if Levi was careful, when I bought property, I knew there were lien holders, I knew there were creditors, I made particular care to only buy either A property or C property. So now, Matiamarle, so Levi can now turn to the creditor and say, look, I appreciate the fact that you're owed money and that you have a lien on the property, but not the ones I bought, because I bought A and or C. In other words, I didn't buy B. And the reason why I didn't buy B is because I didn't want you coming after me. So, and Matiamarle, that's a legitimate taina. I bought land that's not appropriate for you. So fine. So that's one stipulation, so to say, in the salacha. Gemara says, also, additional to that, let's say Levi did buy Beinonis property from Shimon. But what Levi bought from Shimon was not all the Beinonis property. He bought some of the Beinonis property. So now, when the creditor comes, when the lien holder comes, so now Levi could say to him, look, here once again, I appreciate that you're owed the money, but you're not coming after me. Why? Because I took the care. When I bought Beinonis property, it's true I bought Beinonis property, but I made sure to leave over some Beinonis property over by Shimon, because I want to make sure that you're going to go after Shimon. Your recourse is against Shimon, not against me. I made sure to leave Beinonis property over by Shimon. And that's a legitimate claim. Okay. Amar Abaye. Okay, we're almost done. Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. We're two lines down on a very short Amud Beis. And Reuven Shemachar Sad L'Shimon B'Achrayos. So, Reuven sold the property to Shimon, and he sold it B'Achrayos. He sold it with a guarantee, with recourse. The Asabach of the Reuven, and out comes now the creditors, the lien holders, the Karatar Felimine. And of course, now what they want to do is they want to exercise the lien. They want to foreclose on that property, take it away from Shimon. Now, Dinu Da'azal Reuven and Mafsilei. So now, so far so good. In other words, everything is pretty straightforward. Now, the question becomes the following. Can Reuven now advocate on behalf of Shimon? Okay. Generally speaking, when you talk about litigation, so litigation can only be done with the principal parties, right? If two people are litigating, so I can't go into the courtroom and simply say, I'd like to advocate on behalf of, the court's going to say to me, who are you? Right? You're a good friend? Lovely. Get out of here. Meaning the, right? And now if you're hiring a representative, otherwise known as attorney, Okay, good. So in other words, that's your agent. That's your shliach. Okay, that's called an attorney. But in other words, but generally speaking, however, advocacy cannot be done in the courtroom by anyone other than the principals. So with that stated, the Gemara has a really simple question. When Reuven sold the land to Shimon, and he sold it with recourse, so does Reuven now have a vested interest in that property? The answer is obvious. The answer, of course, is yes. Because once the land is taken away from Shimon by the lien holder, so then what's Shimon going to do? Shimon's going to go to Reuven, and Shimon's going to say to Reuven, okay, remember, you sold me the property with recourse. Okay, now you're going to pay me. So does Reuven have a vested interest? 100%. It's clear, it's obvious. Right? In fact, the Gemara's point over here doesn't seem to be much of a chiddush. Regardless, Dinu hu dazel Reuven amafsi le v'lo mafsi amr le la bal dvarim didiat mishum damr le demafaktim inei alai hadar. In other words, Reuven can now go into the courtroom and advocate on behalf of Shimon. Can the court say to Reuven, you have no business being here? No, because Reuven has a lot of business of being here, because in the event of foreclosure, so now Shimon's going to come after Reuven. So once Reuven now has vested interest in the outcome of this case, Reuven can come into the courtroom. Reuven can advocate on behalf of Shimon. Okay. Now, Igadami, now what it sounds like so far is that for Reuven to do that, he has to have a real monetary interest, meaning that in the event of foreclosure, Shimon's going to go after Reuven because Reuven sold the Bachrayos. Right now, at least what we're thinking is that if Reuven didn't sell the Bachrayos, and so that means to say that Reuven's in the clear, he sold Shimon as is with no recourse. So now if the property's taken away from Shimon, Shimon can't go after Reuven. So right now, it sounds like in such a circumstance, so if Reuven walks into the courtroom, the court will say to Reuven, you can observe, but you'll keep quiet because you don't have a vested interest. Ikadamri in the second version of the Gemara, so afilu shulah b'achrayos nami. Now, even if when Reuven sold the land to Shimon and he sold it shulah b'achrayos, Reuven can still come into the courtroom, Reuven can still advocate on behalf of Shimon. Even though in the event of foreclosure, Shimon can't go after Reuven. Reuven sold it to him with no recourse. Still, lo nichale d'tahave le Shimon taruma salai. Now, because still his reputation's at stake over here. In other words, Reuven sold the property, and I'm sure at the sale, Reuven told Shimon it'll be great. The lien holder, don't worry about him. He's not exercising the lien. He doesn't need the property. You'll be fine. Right, I've had that creditor on my back for years. He doesn't really care. Nothing to worry about. And then what happens is that when Reuven sells the land to Shimon, all of a sudden out comes the lien holder, and he likes his property now as satisfaction of the note. And now Shimon says to Reuven, right, like I can't believe you talked me into it. So now that Reuven's reputation is on the line. So that also is considered a vested interest, and that allows him to go into the courtroom and advocate on behalf of Shimon. Okay. Amar Abaye. Okay, we're almost done. Tzadi Beis Amid Beis. Last line. Last case for today. Amar Abaye Reuven Shemachar Sadal Shimon V'lo Bachrayos V'yatzu Alav Asikin. So what happens over here is that Reuven sells property to Shimon. He sells it Shlo Bachrayos. No recourse. Okay, in other words, buyer beware. You're buying it at your own risk. Right, somebody comes along and forecloses on that property, and I'm telling you, there's no recourse. So v'yatzu alav asikin, and now what happens is the following, and that is the title search was not done properly, and now people are contesting that Reuven wasn't even the owner of the property. Reuven's ownership of the property is now challenged; it's called into question, and now at that point in time, so achlo hichzik by. So before Shimon, who is the buyer of the property, before he did a proprietary act, in other words, how do you purchase property? Three ways that you purchase property: kesef, shtar, uvechazaka. So those are the three different ways in which one can purchase a property. So now, if we're focusing on chazaka, proprietary act, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin goes over exactly what proprietary act looks like in just a moment. Our Gemara is going to go over what a proprietary act looks like. So achelo yichzik ba yachol achzer bo. So before Shimon did a chazaka, a proprietary act on the property, so he could back out of the deal. However, But once he does a proprietary act, a kinyan, that effects the transaction of the property, so at that point in time, he can't retract. So this is basically the Gemara's version of due diligence, meaning now as far as Shimon is concerned right now, he's I'm saying it almost as literal as I can, he's left holding the bag. Right, the expression is chayta dekishra sever v'kabel. The way Rashi describes it is basically it's a bag of nuts. Okay, it's the expression basically translates as follows: when you're buying land, so you know that as much as you research and as much as you investigate, sometimes it's a great purchase and sometimes it's not a great purchase, and there's always a certain amount of risk that you assume in purchasing property. And so over here, when Shimon now does a proprietary act, he does a chazaka on that land. In order to formalize the transaction, making that land his. Now we have challenges in terms of whether Reuven really owned the property or not. It goes without saying, but I'll say it. In other words, if it turns out that Reuven never owned the property, obviously the sale is going to be voided. But until that point in time, Shimon is left now with the headache of people are coming and challenging Reuven's ownership of the property. Shimon at this point in time now wants to back out of the sale because who wants that headache? I don't want that headache. So at this point in time, it's too late. Why? Because before buying the property, you need to do due diligence. And if you don't do your due diligence and you purchase the property, and now some questions come up in terms of Reuven's rightful authority and rightful ownership to have even sold the property to begin with, and now you don't want the headache. At this point in time, too late. You purchased a headache. Okay? Interesting Gemara over here. The Gemara wants to know, and what is the Maisa Chazaka? What do you have to do to do a Chazaka? Michidai Shemitzra. So when you reinforce the border of the property, that is a Kenyan Chazaka. Tosus over here is bothered. In other words, we knew that already. Right? I don't need the Gemara in Ksufas to tell me what Chazaka is. I know it already from the Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara in Baba Basra. Anyway. Igadamer in a slightly different version. So ba'achrayos nami. So even if the land was sold ba'achrayos, so in other words, Reuven sold the land to Shimon, and not just sold the land to Shimon, but with recourse. And now, all of a sudden, people are chirping. I don't think Reuven was the rightful owner, and now people are challenging whether Reuven even had the right to sell it. So again, until everything is established. So Shimon at this point in time would be like, I'd like to back out. No, Shimon can't back out. And even when Reuven sold the land with recourse, with Achrayus, Shimon still can't back out of the sale. And the Gemara gives a very simple explanation. Amar Le, because Reuven says to Shimon, Achsei Tirfech V'Hashalem Lach. Look, I know I sold you the land with recourse. If and when somebody comes and actually takes hold of the property, forecloses on the property, meaning if there's a lien holder who takes the property, alternatively, if it's proven that I wasn't the owner, and now the real owner comes and assumes the property, and then you go to court and they write you a toref, and we just discussed it yesterday, right? The toref is basically a receipt that when you purchased a property and now it was foreclosed against, so now you can go and you can get a reimbursement of the money that you paid, so you go to the court and they write you a receipt that you're entitled to reimbursement. So what Reuven says to Shimon is, look, when I see that court document, then I'll go ahead and pay you. Until that point in time, it's unfortunate. Meaning, what you purchase is a headache. Okay. I say it with not much sympathy. Trust me, if it were me, I'd love all the sympathy in the world. But in other words, from the halachic standpoint, the Gemara says that's, in other words, buyer beware. And you have the requirement to do your due diligence. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf. Good. We're up to pace, even a little bit ahead. We're starting tomorrow with the Mishnah. Recap. So today, basically, one case study after another case study, understanding the dynamics of the sale of property, of lien holders exercising their lien. We talked foreclosures. We talked about selling land with recourse, not selling land with recourse. What's the coverage of the recourse? Okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, a lot of real estate talk in today's daf and Ksufas daf Sadi Beis. Okay, if I summarize, I'd just basically be going over every case. Anyway, good. Tomorrow, by the way, if I can just give a sneak peek to tomorrow. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about bankruptcy. Oh my gosh. David, you must love these Gemaras. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about bankruptcy. So, okay. It's an exciting daf tomorrow. The Gemara is going to give basically distributions of somebody who filed bankruptcy. I'm saying it. Bankruptcy is a modern you know, invention. But in other words, basically, who filed bankruptcy, and now you have all these people who want some form of, you know, some sort of debt satisfaction. So basically, how is that going to be done? Coming up in tomorrow's daf.